This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
And naturally, just as we're about to start hitting the phones, my Zoom link went down. So I couldn't say, hey, Mr. Santiago.
Is that what happened?
Like this second, like as soon as you heard Funky Cool Medina, my screen goes completely white.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Oh, Santi, what do we got? Let's go to Robert in Manhattan. Robert in Manhattan, you're up first on DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Carlin in for Dave. What's going on, dude?
Hello. Good morning, sir. Well, you're bright and bushy this wonderful day after the mini hurricane that really wasn't much except for the trees and the down.
I talked to a few people before you say it wasn't much.
Well, where I live, it wasn't much. But anyway, I hope you're well and safe considering these times. All right. My 2 cents. 4 months ago, the hockey gods played a nasty joke. Mr. Bettman and his cabal of geniuses decided, no. 16 teams isn't enough. We got to have 24. They should have had all 30. They should have invited the New York Knicks into the playoffs. Thank God they didn't do that. Neither did the NBA, for which I thank them. So they brought in teams that at the time the season was canceled were not in the playoffs. And don't tell me that, well, yeah, the Rangers were 1 point behind. They still weren't in the playoffs. They shouldn't have been. And last night, thank the hockey gods for getting rid of them. Go away. We'll see you next year, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I mean, technically, it wasn't the playoffs. They were given the opportunity to play their way into the playoffs in this play-in round. That was
correct.
That was the whole thought process behind it. I mean, you have to give teams a chance when they are that close. You know, after 70 games, and they're within 2 points of Carolina, who is sixth, and the Rangers are 11th.
Not to mention they had games in hand, by the way.
Yes, yeah. So, I mean, look, I understand what you're talking about, but I don't want to ever take away the opportunity. This is why I think the NHL, Chris, really handled this thing beautifully in every way, not just from the virus standpoint, but also from the giving fair opportunities for teams to play their way into the playoffs. It's not just one game and out, but if you're right there and you're knocking on the door, you get a real chance at it.
Well, yeah, I like what the NHL did, and I'm a fan of what the NBA did as well. Like, we're going to complete the regular season in a bubble. The teams that are within striking distance get an opportunity to be a part of it, and the teams that aren't, we'll try to put something together where you can have, you know, a little mini camp at some point in the offseason. But the reality is that, you know, you do have to give a fair chance to teams that are that close to see if they can work their way into the tournament. And so I don't have any problem with what the NHL did. I think Gary Bettman, in terms of the format, actually got this one right. Now, for a team that's trying to compete and actually has a chance to win the Stanley Cup, yeah, you're talking about more work. You got another round to go. You got five rounds as opposed to four. But, I mean, it's one of those things that everybody recognizes it's going to be a little bit different because we're in uncharted territories. This is an unprecedented circumstance, and you have to be able to be flexible.
And not just flexible, but smart. You know,
yes.
I think that the way they've done it, and I think the NBA's done it pretty well, too, because they didn't bring in ridiculous teams that had no shot at all, but they gave a chance to the teams that over the last 8-9 games of the year would have had a chance, and the NHL did the same thing. Jeff in Manhattan, next on 98.7 ESPN. Jeff, what do you got?
Good morning, fellas. You do. I've listened to sports radio for over 40 years, going back to Art Russ Jr. and others, and you guys really are the cream of the crop, the best of the business, and you're keeping us all focused and entertained through some tough times. So I wanted to thank you for that first.
Well, I'm going to say thank you on behalf of those other guys. And listen, let's face it, we're the real heroes.
Let me talk about the series with you. To me, it's an absolute talk about their inexperience. This is a team that beat Carolina 4-0 in the regular season. This is a team that won 9 straight road games that broke. I mean, that's a record in the New York Rangers history, which is a remarkable history of the New York Rangers. So to talk about the fact that they had some inexperienced players, to me, is a complete cop-out. The fact of the matter is...
They had 11 guys. 11 guys who had never been in the playoffs before. I don't know if that's a cop-out.
Chris, think about it. Those are the same 11 guys that are part of this team that set that record, winning 9 games in a row on the road, and beat this team 4-0 in the season. To me, when you watch this series, I'm a Quinn fan, but the fact of the matter to me is Carolina came completely prepared from the moment that puck dropped in game one. They beat the Rangers literally and figuratively to the punch, meaning they scored the first goal within a minute. Then Shea took out Fast with his with fisticuffs. They came to play. Brind'Amour had those guys ready to go. And the Rangers never recovered from the first minute of game one. They were on their heels the entire time. Yes, Reimer stood on his head for a little bit for part of that game yesterday. But there's no question that the Hurricanes came more prepared to play this series than the Rangers. And it showed.
I don't think anybody's disputing that. I guess our point is there's a difference between regular season play and postseason play. Like the overall intensity, the speed of the game ratchets up. I don't care what sport you're talking about. Hockey is no different. And you absolutely saw that play out with this series against the Hurricanes. So you can't discount experience when you talk about playoff competition. You just can't.
I think that if you do that, and you want to point to winning road games during the regular season as a comparable idea, then you're just not paying attention to what hockey playoffs have been about before. You know, we all know it's a different level of intensity. Now,
Chris, you're talking about being in a bubble and playing in the middle of a pandemic. That's another layer to this thing. That adds to the degree of difficulty, and you would think that a more veteran team would be able to handle that better than a young group. Am I wrong?
Oh, I don't think you're wrong, especially considering it's uncharted territory, and it adds another level of stress to the situation that nobody's ever experienced before. Now,
nobody's trying to take anything away from Carolina.
No, absolutely not.
I hope they don't get us wrong when we're trying to, you know, talk about what happened over this series. Carolina, you got to tip your cap to them. They went out there and they dominated the series. You know, they handed the Rangers their hats to them and said, thank you for coming out. God bless you. Good night. 3-game sweep. But, I mean, listen, there are some things that are there that can help to explain as to why Carolina was able to dominate the series the way that they did, knowing how talented the Rangers are. I don't think anybody coming into this series thought that Carolina was going to sweep the Rangers. Did you hear that? Because I didn't hear that.
No, absolutely
Everybody
not.
Thought this was going to be a competitive series. And Rick actually liked the matchup for the Rangers. But the reality is when you do have a veteran team that's been there before and done that, it does give them a little bit of an advantage. And it was clear that the Hurricanes exploited that advantage over the Rangers because they dictated the complexion of every single game.
Now, I'm not sure if it was Kreider or Zibanejad, but one of them did say after the game that the bad moments in game one, they let carry over.
It was Kreider.
Yeah, for the next couple of games. Yeah, so there you go. I mean, they let it carry over for the next couple of games. I mean, I think to admit that, now Kreider's obviously a veteran, so he understands. But to admit that tells you a lot about the situation. And for a veteran to say that means that it's particularly frustrating for him. And it wasn't all that long ago that Kreider was in the incredible minority as being that younger guy who was thrown into the playoffs, but he didn't have to be what these younger guys have to be now.
No, he's been around the block, right? This guy's experience. So he knows what he's talking about when he makes that statement. That is something that he was feeling in that locker room. That's something that he was feeling when he was on the ice competing. Like they let that moment in game one where Foss got knocked out affect how they played the rest of the series. And you just can't do that. You have to find a way to be able to move past those moments and create some of those plays of your own that can intimidate and dictate to the other team. And that just didn't happen, or at least happen enough to where they were able to swing the series. It just didn't. And that's how you end up getting swept.
Let's hit Lou in Manalapan next. Lou, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, Carlin? How's it going, Canty? So I'm a huge New York Rangers fan. I'm also a huge New York sports fan. And the real issue I have with Ranger fans this morning and, you know, kind of the callers that you guys have been taking is the fact that, like, the Rangers are the most set up for the future. I'm a Mets fan. The Mets, you don't know what you're getting each night. The Jets, they traded Jamal Adams last week. The Knicks, what the heck's going on with the Knicks? You know, outside of the New York Yankees, who obviously, you know, ripped the ground up and rebuilt the farm and got superstar talent, I think the Rangers are the next team in New York to be successful. You brought in Panarin. That was one of the best signings in the team's history, maybe in New York sports history. You saw that this year. You have Mika Zibanejad. Yeah, Derek Brassard was a great Ranger. You got Zibanejad for basically nothing, and he's, you know, the future. You know, Chris Kreider, when he decides that he wants to put a puck in the net and be explosive, you can get a 40-point kind of guy. Hopefully you could get a 50-point guy next year. But the point is their farm system's loaded. Now they're eligible for a first overall pick. They have more than enough talent as far as youth goes than anyone else in the league. And, you know, although I was very upset last night and a lot of Ranger fans deserve to be, you know, the fact that David Quinn is a guy that came from college hockey, is a mentor to young athletes, you know, people that think that it's on him, you know, to get young players that never experienced something as harsh as the NHL playoffs. You know, the Hurricanes knew last year what it was like. They got to the conference mm-hmm. final. The Rangers yep. didn't. They have 11 kids on that team that, and mind you, like maybe three of them that weren't even consistent starters on the team during the regular season. You got players that didn't know what to expect, and they're doing it in Toronto. So while you have the garden loud and roaring for these young kids on a nightly basis, Igor Shesterkin's never seen a situation like that.
Listen, I agree on all that. I think that you are going to be in the minority, though, if the day after the season ends the way it did, that you're able to look at it from a much bigger picture standpoint. I think it still has to sting a little bit, Chris.
Well, yeah, it has to sting. But here's the thing, right? It's just this was not the year that everybody thought the Rangers would be competing for the Stanley Cup.
It's no, not. No. So, but I once mean, you get there,
made,
you get that
if they
would have
made the playoffs, we would have counted it as a win.
Right. But
once they get into the playoffs, it's house money. Yep. But because of how things fell and you realized there was going to be a qualifying round and then you saw who your opponent was going to be in the Carolina Hurricanes, a team that you beat four times in the regular season – I think it put the expectation in a lot of fans that they were going to have a chance to advance to the next round. But when that didn't happen and when you get swept by the Canes, it leaves a bad taste in your mouth. But the silver lining to this is you got a lot of young guys that get playoff experience. And to the last caller's point, you have a 12.5% chance of having the number one overall pick by virtue of how the lottery fell. So, I mean, there's a chance that this young, talented team can get that much better with having a top draft pick. So you feel good about that. But, I mean, yeah, the day after you get swept, it's after you've been looking forward to this for months, yeah, it doesn't feel good.
Islanders fans, listen up. Isles are back today at noon. 2-0 lead in their best of five qualifying round against the Florida Panthers. You can hear the game right here, 98.7 ESPN. For your chance to win an Islanders prize pack, text Islanders to 44202 right now. Again, that's Islanders to 44202, brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill. 800-919-3776. We're hitting the calls hard. Got some open lines as well. So let's jump on board. Here's Paul in Brooklyn next on 98.7 ESPN. Paul.
Hey, Chris, good morning. Just wanted to chime in about the Rangers and Canes series. I'm an Islander fan, but I think Rangers fans need to understand one important thing. The team lost its identity for the past two or three seasons. When Torts and Vigneault was there, the team had a strong identity. It was consistent, game in, game out, even in the playoffs, consistent. Now with the Rangers, one game you get dump and chase, next game you get a defensive game, next game you get the speedsters. Also, their head coach, you know, you have to know how to work with young guys in a young core and develop them. I don't think Quinn's the answer for the Rangers and that organization. I think Tortorella would be a great, great comeback coach for that team to have right now with their young core. And again, you've seen it over the past two or three seasons. Ranger fans, I mean, you guys have a great team. Hope for the best. But on that note, yes, yes, yes. My Islanders are going to sweep the Panthers today. Thanks, guys. God bless. Take care.
All right, first of all, Chris, I don't know that you want somebody who's trying to define the Rangers' identity when you're an Islander fan.
Yeah, I don't feel great about that. It feels like he was just hanging on the rim a little bit, just knowing that we had been ousted from the playoffs and that his team was on the verge of advancing via sweep of the Panthers. That didn't feel good.
No.
Now to some of the points that he was trying to make, I mean, he was talking about the consistency that the Rangers had under AV, and the reality is they were getting to the playoffs, but they weren't having the success that they were looking for as an organization. They wanted to be able to break through, and that just did not happen. For whatever reason, they underachieved. I know there were a lot of people that speculated that the team's identity was a little bit soft under AV, and so they wanted to go in a different direction. And you got to give credit to Coach Quinn and what he's built with this team. I mean, they've completely restarted this thing. I mean, Jeff, it wasn't that long ago that Jeff Gorton issued the letter and said that they're going to rebuild this thing. It wasn't that long ago. And the fact that we're at this point right now with the Rangers talking about how talented they are and surprised that they didn't advance past a team in the Carolina Hurricanes that had been in the Eastern Conference Finals a year ago, I think that's a little bit unfair in terms of how we're judging Coach Quinn.
It's 2 years ago, and barely. And for the turnaround to be what it has been that quickly has been remarkable. So I don't necessarily think you even look at what an identity is, because it hasn't really been established yet. You know, you're so early in the process, and you've gotten as far as you have. I think that's pretty impressive with what they've been able to do in such a short turnaround. The only other time you've ever seen a turnaround like this was with the Yankees in 2016 when they were able to make the deals that they did and get Gleyber Torres, but that was even faster. This has been more, you know, a case of you were at a certain level, you weren't getting to that next championship level. You got to the finals, for Pete's sake, under Torts. So when you're ready to look in the mirror, properly examine what you are, and then be honest about it with your fans and find yourself in this position 2 years later, I'm sorry, I think you have to feel great about that. And that's not about identity. You're just starting to establish what your identity is going to be.
Well, yeah, you're in the infancy stages of program building, right? Yep. But the one thing I will say about Coach Quinn, and listen, I'm a fan of Coach Quinn because he comes on the show regularly during the hockey season, and I'm sure we'll hear from him at some point about, you know, what happened in the postseason. But I just, the messaging that we hear from him and what he talks about with his team, there is a consistency there. And so when you couple that with JD and having him in the front office now, I think Rangers fans should have a lot of confidence in the direction that this team is going in. I mean, you're seeing tangible signs of improvement, and you're hoping that as this thing continues to develop, that they'll get to a point where they're competing consistently to be in the Stanley Cup Finals. Because it's not just about getting to the playoffs. It's about winning a cup. That's what everybody wants. And so I think that the organization made the decisions a couple of years ago to shift gears because they realized what they were doing just wasn't good enough.
Let's hit Tony in Queens next. Tony, what's going on?
What's up, guys? First time caller, big fan of the show. I just wanted to talk a little bit about Henrik Lundqvist. You know, his time is pretty much done here in New York, and it's kind of sad. You know, like, he put the team on his back for so many years, those runs in 2014, 2015. And, you know, I think this year, like, you could tell that, you know, it's not really all there for him anymore. So I'm not too sure what they're going to do with him next year going forward. You got the expansion draft. I doubt the Rangers protect him. But if he doesn't move to the expansion team, or if he doesn't move to another team in the offseason, I don't think the Rangers are going to keep him. You got Shesterkin, who's great. Georgiev is really coming to his own. So, like, I wanted to hear your guys' opinion on, you know, what's next for Henrik Lundqvist if he's not going to be in a Rangers uniform. Thanks.
I don't think he's going to be, Chris. I mean, I think it's time to move on.
Well, he's not your future, right? Shesterkin is your future. I mean, you say it's time to move on. I don't know how that's going to play out this offseason. If I had to bet it, I would say that he probably starts next season on the Rangers roster and at some point is moved before the deadline. But I don't know, man. It's just it's a tough spot for the organization because you know it's time. I mean, he's a legend, but you know that it's time for somebody to take over in between the pipes. It just is. And so I guess you have to be delicate in how you do it, but there is no easy way to part ways with the legend, man. Look what happened with the Giants and Eli Manning. That I mean, that was about as subtle as a gunshot. So, I mean, it's hard to do it, right? You see it throughout sports. It's hard to move on from these iconic figures, but the Rangers are at that point now where it makes sense to move on from Henrik Lundqvist. We'll see how they do it, but if I had to bet it, I would say that he starts next season on the Rangers roster.
See, I think there's very tough conversations coming with him this offseason, if they haven't had him already. And I don't see how he can be on the roster to start the season next year. We'll discuss more about it in a sec. And also, where does he rank in terms of the superstars who have never won championships here? I got a list of them, and I'm curious to get your take, Chris, as to where he's going to fit in on that list. 800-919-3776. Carlin in for Dave this week. Rick's power is out, unfortunately. What's he going to do to watch the Islander game? I mean, is he going to be sitting in his car watching on the phone?
Where there's a will, there's a way, Carlin. So I'm sure that he'll find something. He'll come up with something in order to watch his Isles.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.